Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 17 this morning. Genesis chapter 17. I'm so happy that you all were blown in by the wind this morning in the windy city. So I said that earlier this morning, and somebody said, well, that's really about politics, not about the climate. So, okay, whatever. Genesis chapter 17. We have the whole chapter to enjoy today, and so let's dig in and see what God has for us. Starting in verse 1, we have the words of Moses to us here in this text. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin. Now it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, Shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who's 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And God said, No, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. When he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all those born in his house or bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day, as God had said to him. And Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very day, Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised, and all the men of his house, those born in the house and those bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. May the Lord add his blessing at the reading and the hearing of his word this morning. Well, yesterday we had our monthly men's prayer breakfast, where we, which is by way of our custom, we always have bacon, lots of bacon, and scrambled eggs. And I just have a question for you. What's really the difference between the chicken and the pig in association with a bacon and egg breakfast? And I would say to you, well, the chicken is merely involved, but the pig is totally committed, isn't it? And over the years, I've seen all kinds of involvement level and commitment levels with people within the various churches where I have served. It just seems that there are way more people who are willing to just be involved a little bit as opposed to those who are totally committed. What does total commitment look like, we might ask? Well, shouldn't it look like Jesus? Isn't that what the total commitment should look like? Shouldn't it look like a guy like Billy Graham? 99 years, right? And we just celebrated in his passing, as now he is with the Lord. Or maybe it should look like Katie Koopman, who comes today as a missionary being sent out by our church, who's going on the mission field to a difficult area, downtown Chicago, wanting to teach children the gospel. Maybe that's what it should look like. And we ask ourselves, are we all in this morning? Do we just have our feet dangling by the pool, or have we jumped in completely, head to toe? Well, let's be honest. Most of us just really don't like to commit ourselves to anything, right? But God has committed himself to us through Christ, hasn't he? Isn't it true that Jesus demonstrated his commitment to us through laying down his life for us so that we may live? Yes, that's the case. Now he calls us into a holy commitment to him, where he is purposing to adopt us, bless us, multiply us, and make us a new creation. And in light of his commitment to us, how should we demonstrate our commitment to him? We've gone back to the beginning here in our study of the book of Genesis. From the beginning, God has promised that he would send a redeemer, a promised seed from a woman who would come and destroy evil once and for all. In Genesis 3:15, God said to Adam and Eve after they sinned against God in the garden that a child would come who would crush Satan's head. This promised seed would be bruised by the evil one, but this coming Savior, this Messiah, would have complete victory for all of humanity over evil. And from this point on, the opposer, that is Satan, unleashed a campaign of deception, chaos, and evil in his determination to destroy this coming child, this seed that would come. And after several ill-fated attacks against this promised child, in the 12th chapter of Genesis, the seed line comes to Abram. And in Genesis 12, when Abram was 75 years old, God promised him that the line of the Messiah would go through his seed from his own body. And now as the plot thickens, another 13 years has passed, and still no child for Abram and Sarai for the rebellion against God. Through taking things into their own hands with Sarai's handmaid, Hagar, resulting in the birth of Ishmael that we saw last week. It's interesting to me that when we are not willing to wait on God's provision, his ultimate deliverance for us is often delayed, isn't it? How much better it is for us to wait on him from the beginning. And as we studied in chapter 15 of Genesis, God made it very clear how committed he was to Abram and Sarai in bringing about the promise of a child when he made a covenant with Abram and Sarai as he himself, God himself, passed between the pieces of the animals that Abram had prepared as a sacrifice. God swore to Abram that he would keep his word. And now in light of Abram and Sarai's subsequent rebellion in chapter 16, God calls on Abram and Sarai to demonstrate their commitment to his plan and his promises. Abram is asked to physically participate in God's covenant through the act of circumcision as a sign of Abram and Sarai's commitment to God, which begs the question for all of us, how committed to God are we this morning? How committed to God are you? Have you made it clear to God and others where you stand this morning in your commitment to him? How committed are you to the ministry that God has called you to? Well, we have a lot to explore. Five truths this morning. Before we do, let's ask God's help. Will you pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we recognize our utter dependence on you to have a clue about anything you have to say. And Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to hear your truth. To open your truth to us that we might receive it and understand it, that we'd consume it, and then, Lord, be driven to live it. Have your way in our hearts as we study. By the power of your Spirit, we ask. In your Son's wonderful and awesome name, we pray. Amen. Well, if you have your sermon notes outlined, the first truth is simply this. God has called us to walk before him in holiness. God has called us to walk before him in holiness, and that's exactly what he does with Abram. He calls on Abram to walk before him in holiness. Before we even look at the outline, look at what it says in verse 1. When Abram was 99 years old, you know, it's never too late to follow God, is it? It's never too late to follow Christ. I was thinking about that. I was reminded of Kathy's grandparents. I've got a picture of them here. Here's Kathy's grandparents. They came to faith in Christ in their 70s. They were so amazed at the testimony of their children and their children's children. In other words, the gospel had so impacted their family that they couldn't resist the reality of the gospel. And they recognized they needed Christ. So in their 70s, they put their faith and trust in Christ. They got baptized. And off they went to do everything they could to make up for lost time in ministry. It's beautiful. God has called us to walk before Him in holiness, even if you're 99 years old. So first of all here, how do we do it? How do we walk before Him in holiness? Through, first of all, walking in His revelation. It says the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, well, what did He say? We'll look at that in a moment. But the first thing here is God's revelation to Abram. The Lord appears to him, and the Lord appears to us and has appeared to us. How so, you say? Well, first of all, we see two ways that God speaks to our hearts. We see that God speaks to us through His Word, His written Word, right? 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Peter, the best friend, one of the best friends of Jesus, adds this, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So all of God's Word is given to us as a revelation of God to us, just as the Lord appeared to Abram. But not only that, God also speaks to us through His Spirit in our inner man, in our inner being. Paul writes this to the church in Rome in 8:16. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And so the Lord speaks to our hearts through His Spirit and by the power of His Word. And by the way, God's Spirit will always be consistent with His Word. It's not likely that, you know, well, I think God wants me to go blow up a building. I don't think so. Probably not. Right? It's got to be consistent with all of His revelation, whatever you're hearing. So God has called us to walk before Him in holiness through walking in His revelation, walking by the light of His Word and His Spirit. Secondly, through walking in His power. Notice what God says here. I am God Almighty. I'm God Almighty. This is the Hebrew El Shaddai, God Almighty, most powerful. He is our all-sufficient one. He is our provision in life. The psalmist adds to this, whom have I in heaven but You, he asks. And there's nothing on earth that I desire besides You. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Is God the strength of your heart this morning? Walking in His revelation, walking in His power, and through walking in His presence. Notice what God says, a simple command to Abram, walk before Me. Won't you just walk before Me? You know, in our culture, the idea is seize the day, an old Latin phrase, seize the day, carpe diem, right? It's very existential. It's all about here and right now. But no, we're called to walk in God's presence. As R.C. Sproul put forth, the idea in Latin is coram Deo, walking before the face of God. This is how we ought to live our lives, walking in His presence. Instead of grabbing onto an existential philosophy, we need to hold on to God and His very presence with us, walking before Him. And fourthly, here, through walking in His righteousness, walk before Me and be blameless, He says. I just want you to be right. I want you to do what's well and good, all that I've planned for you. Be blameless, Abram. Moses writes, quoting God in Leviticus 11:45, you shall therefore be holy. Why? For I am holy, God says. And by the way, He's not just holy, is He? He's holy, holy, holy. God has called us to walk before Him in holiness, through walking in His revelation, through walking in His power, walking in His presence, through walking in His righteousness. And secondly here, God has committed Himself to us. He's already made a covenant with Abram here. And of course, he's made a covenant with us too through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has committed himself to us, first of all, by establishing his covenant with us. This is what God says to Abram in verse 2, that I may make my covenant between me and you. I've made a cutting. We saw this in chapter 15. God passed between the pieces, basically saying that may I be torn asunder if I don't come through on what I've said here. I've made my commitment that I may make my covenant between me and you. And he establishes his covenant with us. We see the covenant here with Abram. We'll see the covenant with Moses. And ultimately, we see the covenant now with us through Christ as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11:25, in the same way, he, that is Jesus, took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. It's the new cutting. It's the new agreement in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And not only this, but he's committed himself to us by multiplying us, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly, it says. And there's two ways we can be multiplied, right? We can be multiplied physically, right? Through children, as we just celebrated with Sean and Suzanne. A child's been born, and we're told by the psalmist in Psalm 127, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. So yes, there's spiritual multiplying. Physical multiplying here with our kids. And then spiritual multiplying, right? Through those that we bring to Christ by his grace. Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then what? You are Abraham's offspring. See, you're part of the seed line through faith in Christ, heirs according to promise. Paul adds in Romans 9:8, the same idea. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. So we're in a position where we can multiply physically through children, but we're also multiplied spiritually through faith. And we are now descendants of Abraham. That's what Scripture says. Now, I don't know about you, but this is getting exciting. So I'm getting rid of this coat. All right? God has committed himself to us. He's called us to walk before him in holiness. We need to respond. We need to respond to God's call in our lives. Did you see Abram's response here? Look at verse 3. Then Abram fell on his face. There he is. He's on his face. Have you ever been on your face before God? Abram was. But on what basis? What basis? Why is he on his face? He's on his face with, first of all, with heartfelt understanding based on the first two verses that he just heard. Hey, look. Look, Abram. Don't you understand? I just want you to walk before me in holiness. I've committed myself to you. Don't you understand? And Abram is blown away. Boom, he's on his face. He understands intellectually what God has done. Secondly, with humble adoration, this is what all of us should be about. 1 Peter 5. Peter writes, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Man, we're so busy trying to exalt ourselves. And God says, no, just humble yourselves before me, the mighty hand, El Shaddai, the all-powerful one, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Here, again, with humility, are you teachable? Will you humbly submit to his authority? With heartfelt understanding, with humble adoration, and with God-honoring worship, Abram is on his face worshiping God. We have other examples throughout Scripture, don't we? Guys like Daniel or in the book of Revelation, John. He's on his face before God on the ground. And by the way, you know, we sing those songs sometimes, you know, I want to see your face. No, you don't. You don't. No, you don't. Because you're going to be on the ground. You're going to be on the floor. It's God, you know. That's who we're dealing with. Jesus tells Nicodemus in John 4:23, but the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. Do you hear that? The Father's seeking people like us to worship him. And I just ask you, are you on your face before God this morning? God has committed himself to us. We need to respond to God's call in our lives as he calls us to walk before him in holiness. Fourthly here, God will bless us as we see God's blessing being unfolded for Abram here. How does he bless us? Well, first of all, by keeping his promises. The back end of verse 3, and God said to him, verse 4, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. God keeps his promises. Why? Because he's God and he doesn't lie. He keeps his promises. And secondly, by making us a new creation. This is how he blesses us. He transforms us, doesn't he? Look what he does for Abram and Sarai here in verse 5. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. In verse 15, and God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Abram's name changed from great father, Abram, to the father of great multitude, Abraham. In verses 15 and 16, Sarai's name changed literally to princess, in that she became the mother of a royal priesthood. She is literally the great descendant mother of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Their names and their characters are in the process of being changed, and the reality for us who are in Christ is the same. We also need to desperately be changed as well. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3, truly, truly, I say to you, Nick, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You need to be born from above. You need to be born again, Nicodemus. And Paul reminds us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And by the way, that's the whole point of the gospel, isn't it? Is that the old is now out of here, and now I can be a new person in Christ by his grace. Years ago, I had an opportunity to go to India to preach the gospel as a part of a medical team and several evangelists. And so here I was presenting the gospel before 25,000 people. It was like a Billy Graham crusade. And I'm going to stand in front of all these. By the way, I'm not Billy Graham. I'm just telling you. And there's all these people. And, you know, you speak in the microphone. You know, my voice is just blasting out to all these people. And I've got a translator. And, you know, we're working together as a team. It's like a well-oiled machine as I deliver. And he says, I say, and he says, boom, it's happening. And by the end of it, as we share the gospel, hundreds of people come forward for prayer. It was amazing. I mean, I was there. I saw it. I experienced it. And yet, I still, it seems unbelievable to me. And then that following Saturday, hundreds showed up to be baptized in the Krishna River. As you know, a herdsman is herding yak across the river, we're now baptizing people. And I got a picture. Go ahead and show that. That's back when I had a little more hair. So here I am in the Krishna River, and a person would come into the water with one of the Indian pastors. And usually the people are named in this culture after Hindu gods. And so when a person is baptized, they're basically saying, taking a break from where they were in their Hinduism and now putting their faith in Christ. And so now the old has passed away. Everything's now become new. And so a call would come out for a new name. And they would ask us, the visiting pastors, to name the person. I'm like, look, I'm not worthy of that. I mean, I can name my own kids, sure. But somebody else, and that's going to be like their name forever? Blew my mind. There was one woman who came who had been a Hindu, and then she had converted to Islam, and then she heard the gospel and gave her life to Christ. I named her Grace. Right? I mean, that's the name. Grace. A new character. And this is what God is purposing to do in us. as we give ourselves to Him, He creates in us a new life. And the old has passed away, which is the whole point. I can bury the old man, and now I can walk in newness of life, walking in His presence in holiness. We need to respond to God's call in our lives. God will bless us by keeping His promises, by making us a new creation. Thirdly here, by cultivating us. Notice what God says, I'll make you exceedingly fruitful, Abram, Sarah, and I will make you into nations. I'm going to blow you away with fruitfulness. And this goes back to Genesis 1:28, where God from the very beginning said, be fruitful and multiply. And Genesis 9:7 with Noah, as for you, be fruitful and multiply. And we go, fruitful, well, what should that look like in our lives? Yeah, children, but there should be fruitfulness in how we're sharing the truth of the gospel in the lives of others as they're coming to faith in Christ. And God will bless us in that. And fourthly here, by adopting us as part of His royal family. Notice what it said toward the end of verse 6, and kings shall come forth from you. I mean, think of that. Kings, what a prophecy. Kings will come forth from you. And by the way, the King of Kings will ultimately come forth from you, right? And that's for us, we who are in Christ, the book of Revelation, John writes, to Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood. Who's that? That's Jesus. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and made us a kingdom. He's made us a kingdom. Priest to His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's in the process of making a kingdom of priests as He's adopted us into His royal family. And then ultimately, He blesses us by just simply being our God, right? In verse 7, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And by the way, that's all God has ever wanted. I just want to be your God and you be my people, okay? That's all I want. Throughout all of Scripture, that's what you see everywhere. And I will be your God and you will be my people. That's all He's ever wanted. To be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I'll give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. That's all I want to do. So He blesses us by being our God, by adopting us into His family, by cultivating us, by making us a new creation, by keeping His promises. And lastly here, don't miss this. In light of all that we've talked about, beloved, we need to respond to this. We need to respond to God's incredible blessing in our lives. Well, how do we do that? How should we respond? First of all, through leading our households. Because this is exactly what Abraham does. He leads his household. God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring. Well, who's that? That's his household, right? After you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant. This is my agreement. This is my cutting, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring, your household after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh, by the way, of his foreskin, shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Now we can imagine Abram hearing this for the first time, right? Say what? Hey, Noah gets a rainbow and you want me to do what? You know, wait a minute. You know, couldn't I just have like a nice big bagel or something? Come on. Work with me. No. And we go, you know, why circumcision? That seems like a weird thing. What was the deal? The issue is the seed line. And the implement of the seed line is that which is at stake. And that's what's dealt with here. As the sign is put forward. And again, we do similar things. In terms of our covenanting with God, as we demonstrate outwardly, hopefully, what's an inward reality by baptism, for example, as we go under the waters and we demonstrate our death to our old life, and we come out of the waters demonstrating being raised to new life in Christ, or through communion as we celebrate the two simple elements of the bread and the cup that represents the body and the blood of Christ, who was torn asunder for us as he covenanted with us. So we celebrate baptism and communion, or this couple that came this morning, Sean and Susan, dedicating their child, saying, yes, we want to set this child apart as unto the Lord. By the way, husbands, you are called to lead here, I must say. You're called to lead your household. And by the way, if you won't lead, husbands, don't expect anyone to follow. We need to respond to God's blessing in our lives through leading our households. And secondly here, ready? Through taking God seriously. Do you see what happened here, verse 17? Then Abram fell on his face again. First time was out of awe, right? Second time, out of hilarity. He falls on his face and laughs and says to himself, shall a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? What are you thinking? This is crazy. Shall Sarah, who's 90 years old, bear a child? You know, I don't think you've thought this through, God. And all I have to say is, from my own experience, and I hope it's true for you, that it's when I finally was taking God's word seriously, that's when all the change came. When I started taking him at his word with what he said, by way of his promises, like Psalm 37, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in him and he'll grant you the desires of your heart. I just took God seriously on that. And God has blessed beyond measure. Blow me away with his awesome goodness. We need to take God seriously. And thirdly here, through sticking with God's plan. Even one more time, Abram tries a different way. Verse 18, and Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. You know, hey, well, I've got this. Why don't we just go back to, you know, plan A? I don't like your plan B here, God. It turns out plan B was really God's plan A, wasn't it? And we get that messed up. We want to change things. We want to change the priorities, don't we? We need to stick to God's plan. And God says what? Verse 19, no. But Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. You shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. And as for Ishmael, I've heard you. Behold, I blessed him and will make him fruitful, multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes. And I'll make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. We always think there's another way, don't we? So we try to get out of the commitment somehow, some way. Surely someone else can stand in for me. Surely someone else can do it. And we put God off one more time. Beloved, we need to stick to God's plan, don't we? And then lastly here, through walking with God in obedience. Walking with him in obedience. When he had finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. And we see here that now Abraham follows through on everything that God said. Notice what it says in verse 23. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all those born in his house, or bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, and what? He circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very day, as God had said to them, said to him. Verse 26, that very day Abraham and his son Ishmael were circumcised. Didn't wait around, right? Boom, we're doing it now. I'm committed now. And all the men of the house, those born in the house, and those bought with money from a foreigner who were circumcised with him. We need to respond to God's blessing in our lives through walking with God in obedience, just as Abraham did here. By the way, we have to remind ourselves, it's very easy to start focusing on the outward things here, but the issue is not just the outward things. The issue is the issue of the heart, isn't it? Paul reminds us in Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. It's faith that's essential here. Psalm 51:17, the psalmist says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. And Paul adds to the church in Romans 2, but a Jew is one inwardly. And circumcision is a matter of the what? The heart. By the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. Beloved, we have to understand that what's at stake here is our hearts here. If our hearts have been changed by God truly, then outward manifestations of our faith will most certainly take place. And they'll take place with endurance and reality, as opposed to, I really committed to reading God's Word and it lasted 2 weeks. Well, where's the heart change in that? I did these outward things. Aren't I spiritual? That's not the issue. If our hearts are provoked by who God is and what He's done for us through Christ, there will most certainly be a response outwardly in how we're living our lives before Him. So I ask you this morning, are you more like the chicken or the pig today? Are you merely involved or are you committed? Well, how could you demonstrate your committed heart? Have you been baptized? We're having a baptismal service April 8th. How about your own personal ministry involvement? We have needs all around the church. Our children's ministry needs workers. I'm sure Pastor Sean would love a few more voices in the choir. If you can sing, you should be here Wednesday night rehearsing to join the choir in song. Let's fill up this place with song and God's praise. We're working with the hospitality team, as was mentioned earlier, or working with the youth group or junior high students, or maybe just helping to clean up the church a bit. There's all kinds of things we can do to participate, demonstrating the heart change that God has made in us through faith. I remember my first steps with these things was between my sophomore and junior year, and I made a commitment that I was going to be on fire from Christ from then on. And I remember the first thing I was challenged with is our church, you know, was talking about, we had a huge church down in Peoria, Illinois, 2,000 members, and we had a children's program, and they needed help with the puppet ministry, with the children's program. Here I am, a junior in high school, and I'm now doing puppets, you know. Hi there. Yeah, I can do voices, but I'm not going to. So, you know, I'm doing puppets, and then I got involved with the Youth for Christ singing group, and now I'm playing drums and singing with the team, going to different churches and sharing the gospel, and ended up going to Taylor University. I was a part of another ministry team, 8 guys in a van one summer, 70 concerts in 3 months, you know, proclaiming the gospel through song and music. And I've never looked back. And even, you know, that one step of leaving a perfectly healthy business to go preach the gospel, because there's no more awesome thing I could possibly think of to do but to share the love of Christ with anybody and everybody I possibly can. Are y'all in? What does that look like with your career field? What does that look like for your life and your family? What needs to change? Well, it's got to start in the heart, doesn't it? Have you entrusted your heart completely to Him? If right now, this morning, you're in a position where you know that you've got another step to take of commitment before God, if you know that after hearing what you've heard today, that you know you need to make a step, another step, I don't know what that is. Only you know before God what that next step is. But you're being provoked going, yeah, I do need to make another step of commitment. I need to demonstrate that. I'm going to invite you to stand right now, right where you are. That, yeah, I need to go another step here with God. Would you stand right where you are? Anybody else? Anybody else who knows they need to take the next step? Whatever that step is, you know you need to take it. I want to invite you just get a couple of seconds more. Anybody else? I'd like to invite everybody else to join them now. Everybody stand. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, for those who've just stood up and they understand that they need to make the next step here before you, whatever that step is, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would guide them and direct them. And these steps of commitment would be based on heart change in terms of what you're doing in hearts and lives by your grace this morning. That you would make the difference and that you would guide and direct and that you would bless. Lord, thank you for the power of your word, Lord, this morning. As we're hit in the face with these truths. And maybe there are those here who need to make that next step yet. Whatever that is. Saying yes to you, Lord. Lord, we recognize that we don't like to make commitments. But Lord, we need to before you. Lord, help us to be all in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the power of your word and your truth this morning. Lord, we ask that you would bless us as we do all we can to walk with you in your presence, in holiness. That we might understand your covenant towards us. That we might respond rightly based on all the blessing that you've poured out on us, even in spite of ourselves. Oh God, you've been so good. Lord, we thank you for those who've gone before us, like the Billy Grahams of the world, or even the faithfulness of a Katie Koopman. Lord, I pray that she'd have all that she needs to go touch hearts and lives in this city. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity we have to acknowledge your call on our hearts and our lives this morning. We want to give you all the praise. We pray all this in your Son's wonderful and awesome name. And all God's people said, amen. Have a fantastic week.